Be'ezras Hashem Yizbarech, today's daf is Chav Gimel in Meseches Shabbos, the 241st daf in Shas. Our daf will begin with a new Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Beis Amud Beis. Continuing on with the halachos of Pasei Beraos, we will have a Mishnah on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, which will introduce us to the Isser of Karpeif. The Gemara will continue to analyze Karpeif on the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Beis as well. The Gemara will discuss a little bit of the Shiurim of the Mishkan. Ostensibly, our daf is a short daf, and we will have a bonus. We are on the last day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, and we'll have a Pesach bonus. Let's see who notices it first in our daf. Let's Be'ezra Hashem begin the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom, on Chav Beis Amud Beis, with the halachos of Pasei Beraos. Says the Mishnah, Echad bar rabim, ube'er rabim, ube'er hayochid, osin lohen pasin. We can make Pasei Beraos for the pit of the public, the spring of a public. The difference between bar and be'er, of course, is that a bar is collected rainwater, and be'er is a running spring, as well as the spring of an individual. Avalabar yachid, osin lo mechitza gval yutfachim. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that you're not allowed to use Pasei Beraos for a personal bar. Keep in mind that this substantiates the ideas that the Amoraim were discussing, that Pasei Beraos is not something that was used generally, either because of a fundamental problem, derabbanan d'oraisa, see our shiurim on Daf Chof Aleph, as well as many Marim Makomos on Daf Yud Zayin, that you'll find in the Rishonim and the Achronim. Rabbi Yudim above Omer, Enos and Pasin Ela Be'er Rabin Bilvat. Rabbi Yudim above is even more limiting. He says, only for a Be'er of the public, Ulishar Osin Chagura Gvoa Asara Tfachim. And for the others, you're allowed to make a belt of 10 Tfachim. What that means is, as we saw earlier on the Mishnah on Tezayin Amud Beis, that if one puts strings, in this case the Mishnah describes it as belts, that are within three tvachim of each other, is considered entirely a closed area because of lavud. So that's what we're referring to over here in the Mishnah. The Gemara begins on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Am Rav Yosef, Am Rav Yehuda, Am Shmuel Halachka, Rav Yehuda ben Bava, that the only time that we're allowed to make Pasei Beraos is for the spring of the public. V'amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yudah Mishmuel, lo hutru Pasei Beraos el ber mayim chayim bilvad. Utsricha, and we need both teachings. Number one, that the halacha is like Rav Yudah ben Bava, and number two, that it's also only for ber mayim chayim bilvad. That seems to be repetitious, because at the end of the day, saying that only applies to ber mayim chayim bilvad is simply repeating the shita of Rav Yudah ben Bava. Utsricha, we need both. The Yashmin Alach Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, if we would have just said Alach Hazak Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Hamina de Rabbim, we would have said only when it applies to the public. Va'afilu Michunasin. Even the water that simply gathered together, not from a running spring. Va'haydiktoni Be'er HaRabbim. And then why did it describe it as a spring of the public? Va'afukim de Rabbi Akiva. It's coming to exclude from the Yeshita of Rabbi Akiva, who said even an individual spring would be acceptable. However, it doesn't need to be specifically a spring. The chiddush is that we only allowed the Pasei Beraos for Be'er Mayim Chayim. V'yashmin Be'er Mayim Chayim havamina lo shna de rabin v'lo shna de yachid. And if I had just said that the halach is that Be'er Mayim Chayim is mutter, we would have thought both a private one as well as a public one. Kamash malach Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, that only a public one is going to be acceptable. Now we begin the next Mishnah that continues off of the previous one and introduces a new concept entirely. The concept of karpeif, which is a concept that is not easy to wrap one's mind and the halacha lemaisa around, no pun intended. The reason why our Mishnah discusses it here is because we are continuing with another teaching of Yehuda ben Bava. In fact, this topic is the first time that we really begin to stray from the halachos of mechitzos per se, and we bring in a takana midrabanan, which Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was an important teacher of the Tanoim of this concept. V'adam Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Hagina v'hakarpef shehin shivim ama v'shirayim v'shirayim al shivim ama v'shirayim. If you have a garden or a karpef. A karpef is an enclosure, an enclosed space that's usually outside of a settlement. We're going to see that Chazal will also often use the expression shelohukaf ledira. It's an area that wasn't surrounded. It's enclosed, but it wasn't surrounded for dwelling. Let's say for a park. We're going to discuss it, that parks make Hilchos Ervin quite complicated. So if you have a garden or a karpef that is 70 amos by 70 amos large, hamukefers geder gvoh asar tvachim, mitaltalim besocha. If it's surrounded by a fence, you're allowed to carry inside. However, ubelva, the only time you could do it, is if this enclosed area outside of a settlement is different than the standard one. Shiyeheba shomira, obezdira, oshetei smucha le'ir. Only if it has a booth for guards, like a sukkah, or it has a house inside of it, or it's next to a city, and it's common for people who live in the city to use that area as well. Reb Yehuda omer, afilu ein bo ela bor v'siach u'ma'ora metaltlan besocha. Reb Yehuda is more lenient, and he says, even if it has a pit or a cave, presumably here we're not talking about Reb Yehuda ben Bava, because previously the Mishnah described him as Reb Yehuda ben Bava. This is probably Reb Yehuda bar Ilah, the general Stam Reb Yehuda of the Mishnah. He says that as long as there is a pit, then in such a case, or a cave, then you would be allowed to be metaltel. To understand the Shita of Reb Yehuda and the crux of the Machlokas, let's spend a moment trying to understand what is the Takana Midrabban of Karpef. We've already learned that something that's surrounded by Mechitzos is a Rishus HaYachid, and Min HaTorah one is allowed to be metaltel. However, Chachamim came along and they said, it's only those areas that's obviously a Rishus HaYachid. Those things are not an obvious Rishus HaYachid. In such a case, Midrabanan, one can't be metaltel, because people will come to think that you can be metaltel in Rishus HaRabim. The Machlok is over here, between the Tanoim, we're going to see Rabbi Akiva's Shita as well. We're going to see Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Eliezer. We'll see quite a few Shitas Tanoim. What the Tanoim are struggling with is, what's considered an area that's not for designated for usage for people, that people will be confused and think it's a Rishus HaRabim. So Rabbi Yehuda says it needs to have an obvious form of Dira, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says. Either it's a backyard, Smucha Le'ir, or it's a Beis Dira, or even Shomrim guards use it. Rabbi Yehuda, Eloi, Bar Eloi, he's more lenient. He says anything that could be associated with human hishtamshus, like a pit of water, a bor, so then in such a case, that's already enough to be considered, understood, that that is private property, that is not a rishus harabim, and people will not come to confuse the area of a karpef that surrounds a bar with a rishus harabim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, afilu ein ba achas mikolelu mitaltlan besocha, ubelvad shehei ba shivim ama v'shirayim al shivim ama v'shirayim. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that you don't need any of these things. However, it can't be larger than 70 amos by 70 amos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im hoysa arka yeser al rachva, if it is longer then it is wide. Afilu ama achas e metaltan besocha. You can no longer carry inside of it. The Gemara in Amud Beis will explain the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer that it actually means doubled the size of the width or the length to the other. And we learn that out from the Mishkan, whose length was double the size of the width. And then in such a case, it would be considered a separate rishus, even if it's only 70 by Amos, 70 by Amos, that already resembles something public, and people will be confused with carrying it in a Rishus Rabbim. Yes, Yamar, Afilu Arka, Pishnaim, Berachva, Metaltalin, Besocha. Rabbi Yossi says, even if it's double, you are allowed to be Metaltal. Rabbi Eloi taught that Rabbi Eliezer was Makel in regards to Karpef. Amar Rabbi Eloi, Shematim Rabbi Eliezer, Avafilu hi kebeis kur, that even if it's the size of a beis kur that's much larger than 70 amos by 70 amos, much larger than Beis Asayim, you're allowed to carry inside of it. V'chein shemati. Now two more halachos that Rabbi Loi heard from Rabbi Eliezer that have nothing to do with the topic of our mission. Our mission topic has been karpef. And once we mentioned Rabbi Eloi, so now we've mentioned two more things that Rabbi Eloi reported from Rabbi Eliezer. V'chein shemati menu anshei chotzer sheshokach echad men v'lo irev beiso. The halacha, of course, is that in order to be able to carry in a chatzer, all of the bnei habayis who are part of that courtyard need to join into an eruv. What happens if one of the bnei habayis doesn't join into the eruv? Then the chatzer is aser for all the other people. What is a solution? A solution is that if the individual who didn't join in the eruv is mevatel his rishus to the others, he relinquishes his ownership of his house to the others, so then all of them own his apartment. He no longer owns his apartment. Then they all made an eruv for the chotzer. Let's say that is done, says Rabbi Eloi. Anshi chotzer sheshachach echad mehen velo irev beiso. If one of the people did not join in, and Rashi adds he was mevatel his rishus, also milahachnis ulahotzilo, then he's not allowed to go in and out of his house because he has no eruv. Avalehem mutter, but they are allowed to go in and out. V'chein shemati mimenu, and I also heard from him, sheyotzin ba'arkovlin bepesach, that you're allowed to be yotze with this bitter grass called arkovlin on Pesach. For what? For achilas moror. This is the Pesach reference in Erevin, Chav Gimel Amin Aleph, in a Mishnah that's entirely discussing the halachos of Erevin. The Gemara on Chav Zayin Amin Aleph will describe that this arkablim is a type of leaf that grows around a palm tree, like a vine, and was a bitter tasting grass. Tveris Yisrael says that the chiddush over here is that this is considered a vegetable and not considered part of the tree, hence you could be yotzei the mitzvah of moror. The Rambam has a different girsa over here. His girsa is not arkovlin, but arkrovin, that it would look like an akrav, it would look like a serpent, a certain leaf that looked like a serpent. However, in Meseches Pesachim, where this is also discussed, the girsa is arkovlin, like we have in our Gemara. V'chazarti akol tamidav, and I searched for what Rabbi Eloi had reported in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, ubikashti li chaver velo matzasi. And I've searched for someone who could corroborate that Rabbi Eliezer had said this, and I didn't find anybody say that they had heard it from Rabbi Eliezer. Both of these halachos, halach in regards to someone who forgot to make an Eruv, as well as the halach in regards to Mara. The Gemara begins to analyze the first word of the Mishnah. This expression, Va'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. We also learned Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's shita, what qualifies as a karfef. Mai tana diktani Va'od. Why? What had we learned before from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava that we're saying va'odon? Now the Gemara immediately goes to the obvious answer. Ilei mishum detani lachad l'chumra, that we learned earlier the stringent position on the bottom of chav beis and mebeis that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava taught us that the only thing you can make a pasuk beros from is a be'er of the rabbim. Uktani achrisi, and now we learned another chumya of Rabbi Yehuda bar Bava in regards to karfeif. Mishum hachi ktani va'od, and that's why it says a'od. Va Rabbi Yehuda detani lechad l'chumra. We already also learned, here now we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi repeated himself with two shitas. Rashi explains that we learned earlier on Yud Ches Amar Aleph that you could only make the pase beros for a beis asayim. And then we also learned in regards to the people passing through the pase beros on daf chaf aleph amid aleph. And there it didn't say va'od amar Rabbi Yehuda in reference to Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi's new chumra. Uktani achrisi v'lo uktani va'od? Question mark. And fedeli gemara hasam afsiku rabbanon. No. When it came to the case of Rabbi Yehuda, there we also recounted the shita of the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. And for that reason, if we would say Va'od, it wouldn't be clear whether Va'od is building off the Rabbanan or Rabbi Yehuda. Hacha lo afsiku Rabbanan. But when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda bar Bava, so there was no interruption with any other shita. We had the shita Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and then the next line in the next Mishnah. It's often very helpful to be able to see the congruence and the flow of the Mishnayis. There's an excellent addition in presenting the Mishnayis as one congruous flow, and that is the Mishnah Sedura. They just came out with a Bar Tanura on the bottom as well. So if you look at it from the Mishnah Sedura perspective, just the Mishnah without the interruptions, the awesome interruptions of the Gemara, then we see it's one statement of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava followed immediately by another statement. And wherever there is a hafsik with a different sheet, then we don't say the va'od. Asks Gemara, is that the rule that we only have a va'od when there's no interruption between the position of that Tana with the position of another? Rabbi Eliezer de Sukkah. Rabbi Eliezer, Maseches Sukkah, Rashi explains on Chazayin Amid Aleph, in Sukkah, we have the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that one needs to eat 14 seudos in the Sukkah, and the Chachamim say that there is no set amount. And then the Mishnah says, there on Chav Zayin Amid Aleph as well, that Rabbi Eliezer was of the opinion that someone who didn't eat on the night of the first day of Yom Tov, he should make it up on the last day of Yom Tov. And there, it introduces the second opinion of Rabbi Eliezer with an Va'od, despite the fact that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer previously. According to our above rule, once the Chachamim are brought in, then we should not have the expression Va'od Rabbi Eliezer inside. Va'od Rabbi Eliezer, the Sukkah Daf Sukkah Rabbanan, the Rabbanan interrupt Rabbi Eliezer and disagree with him when he says you need to eat 14 meals, and they say ein lan kitzva uktani va'od. And nevertheless, when we learned this next sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that one can make up a seuda that's missed on the last day of Sukkot, it says va'od. Answers the Gemara, hasam b'milsam hu da afsekua. Over there, Chacham interrupt Rebbe Eliezer and disagree with him on the same subject matter. They don't bring up a new subject. Hacha b'milsa achrisi afsiku. Over here, the Chachamim are brought up in a totally different context and they change the subject entirely. On the Mishnah in Yud Ches Amid Aleph, the Rabbanan began to talk about Gina and Karpef as well. So therefore, Rabbanan didn't stay within the topic. Hence, when Rabbi Yehuda follows up with more halachos and pasuk beros, you can say va'od. In contrast to Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan in Sukkah, there the Rabbanan were staying on the topic, and there va'od would be appropriate. The Mishnah told us, we continue two lines from the bottom, that Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that up until 70 amos, you're allowed to carry, even if there is no Beis Dira. The Gemara asks a sharp question. Says the Gemara in the Tapach of Gimel and Beis Rabbi Akiva, Hainu Tanakama. If we look back in the Mishnah, there's no difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva. The Tanakama said that if it's more than Beis Asayim, it needs to be some that's Hukaf Ladira. Rabbi Akiva said the same thing, just in the inverse. And that is that Rabbi Akiva had said that up until 70 amos, you're allowed to carry if there's no house that's Hukaf Ladira. Both Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakama seem to be of the same opinion that up until 70 amos you're allowed to carry if it's not Hukaf Ladira. Says the Gemara, Ika Meinayu Davar Mu'at. The nafkamina between them is going to be that there's a little bit more that you're going to be able to carry according to Rabbi Yehuda, while according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't have that extra Davar Mu'at. What is this Davar Mu'at? What's behind it? Disanya. We learned in a Brisa of Yehuda Omer. Dover muat yesh al shivim ama vishirayim. Velo nasnu chachamim bo shir. And the chachamim didn't spell out what this shirayim, this little extra bit, is. Vikama shiur. How much is the shiur of the shivim ama by shivim ama with shirayim? Sasayim, the amount of planting of two sa'ah. Kechatzer ha-mishkan. Like the length of the Mishkan. So the Gemara had asked, how much is the shear of Sasayim? And the Gemara answers, it's the size of the Chotzer HaMishkan. And the Gemara wants to know, how do we figure that out? How do we figure out a square Sasayim from the Mishkan? Rashi explains that here, when it comes to a base Sasayim, it's a square base Sasayim. And we could add that the Chatzar Mishkan is a rectangle. So Gemara asks Minon Emili, how do we know that we could square out the Chatzar? And what we're going to see is, it's part of the Pasuk itself. Amar Rav Yehuda Damar Kra, the Pasuk by the Mishkan is quite strange. Orech HaChatzar, the length of the Chatzar, Mei Obama, that's straightforward. It's 100 Amos long. V'rochav Chamishim B'chamishim.
Now that is strange, and its width is 50. Now we would have expected that the chamishim to be the end. Verochav chamishim. What does it mean? Chamishim b'chamishim. So says Rev Yehuda, Amar Torah, the Torah is telling us, Tol chamishim v'sabev chamishim. Take another 50 and put it around the width of 50, that it will have another 50 amos added to it when calculating a beis asayim, and you will have a square 100 by 100. That's what the Torah is telling us. It's telling us how to learn out the beis asayim of Shabbos. The Hod V'Hodr does a very simple and straightforward job explaining how we're adding 50 to the width of the Mishkan. Take a look at diagrams Kuf Tzadi and Kuf Tzadi Aleph. Rashi spells out the entire calculations, but fundamentally we all know that it makes sense in simple math, even outside of the geometry, and that is 50 plus 50 amos is 100, so you're now going to have 100 by 100 amos. Rashi explains how they outlined those 50 amos, how it was divided to create the square. Now the Gemara asks, Pashtei Dikra B'Maksiv. What is the simple meaning behind the pasuk? Clearly, the Torah wanted to teach us something amazing that we just learned in the Lashon Chamishim B'Chamishim, but if the Mishkan was 50 by 100, why did we need the expression Chamishim B'Chamishim? Amar Abaye Hemid Mishkan Al Sfas Chamishim, Kedei Shiehe Chamishim Ama Lefonav, Ve'esrim Ama Lekol Ruach Veruach. The expression Chamishim B'Chamishim is to tell us that the 50 and 50 is to emphasize that there was 50 before the Heichal. There was a Chatzer of 50. Take a look at diagram Kuf Pei Tes. And then there was another 60 around the Heichal. 20 on either side of the Chatzer that surrounded the actual Heichal itself. And therefore the expression of Chamishim B'Chamishim is to emphasize that before you got to the Heichal, there was 50 amos. We now go on to analyze the next shita of Rebbe Eliezer in regards to what creates a din karfeif that Rebbe Eliezer had said, imhaisa arka al rachva, immediately then, in such a case, ein metaltan b'soch, you're not allowed to carry inside of it. Ask the Gemara, we had Rebbe Eliezer teaching us something else. V'atanya, didn't we learn a brisa Rebbe Eliezer, Reimer, imhaisa arka yes al pishnayim b'rachva, if it's twice the size, afilu ama achas ein metaltan b'soch, but not if it's one ama more. You're right. We have to amend our Mishnah, and it means that double the length of the width. Ask the Gemara, Yachi Ainu Rabbi Yossi, isn't that a repetition of Rabbi Yossi? Because you look a line later in the Mishnah Chav Gimel Amin Aleph, we see Rabbi Yossi who says that exact point. Ikebeinayu ribua di ribua rabbanan. Rashi explains the machlokis revolves around what Rashi calls in the second line in Dibar Maschil Ika, the Ikra. What is the primary example of a Rishus Hayachid up until Beis Hasayim, or what we would call a Din Lechatchila? And that is, Rabbi Eliezer holds that Arko Yoser Mishnayim is the Ikar. And he does not hold of the drasha that we mentioned before of Chamishim B'Chamishim to tell us that you're supposed to square it. However, he holds that if it is squared, since it's the same measurement, it'll also be acceptable to carry up until that amount. While, according to Rabbi Yossi, he holds that the Gzeres HaKasav says that lechatchila, you're supposed to square it, and it should be taught that the karpef area should be squared 70 amos by 70 amos. The Gemara now continues analyzing the sheet of Rabbi Yossi that says that even if arkos pishnayim berachva, you're allowed to be metalta as long as it's 70 by 70 amos. Sach HaKol, add it up. Itmar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Amashua Lachi Rabbi Yossi, that's Mekel, in contrast to the shitos above that we just learned of Rebbe Eliezer, who didn't hold that it was a lechatchila in such a case. Rav Bibi, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Alacha ki Rebbe Akiva. He holds Alacha is like Rebbe Akiva, that Rebbe Akiva did not require at all that it be mukefes ledira, as long as it's 70 by 70. Tarvayu Lekula, and both opinions are teaching us a lenient side. In other words, that you're allowed to have arka more than rachba, as well as it up until 70, it doesn't need to be hukuf ladiru. Tzricham, we need both positions. Diashmin alacha Rabbi Yossi. If we would have just heard that the alacha is like Rabbi Yossi, I have a mean, I would have thought ad ika shomira obeis dira, that you need it to be hukuf ladira, even if it's arka yosa rachva. K'mashon alacha Rabbi Akiva. The chiddush is that we follow Rabbi Akiva, who says that it does not need to be hukaf l'di Ravi Yashmin alach Rabbi Akiva. If it would have just said Rabbi Akiva, havmina darach v'katan lo, that needs to be a box. Kamash malon alach Rabbi Yossi, that a rectangle as well is going to be acceptable. So what emerges from our sugya is that karpef yoser mi beis asayim, if it's not hukaf l'dira, then you can't carry inside of it. If it's less than beis asayim, you can. The Gemara now continues with another halacha about the karpef that's more than beis asayim. Karpef shu yosem beis asayim shu hukaf l'dira. If it was hukaf l'dira, we learned you're allowed to carry in it. Nizra rubo, however, if the majority of it has things planted inside, hareu kigina, it's considered like a garden, and then it becomes like a karpef again, and it's no longer considered hukaf ludira va'asar. Not a rubo, but if it's not been seeded, but it was planted with trees, that's the difference between zriya and netiya. Netiya is trees, as Rashi spells out. Hareu kechotzer, then it's like a chotzer. People like to have trees around their house, they sit in the shade, umutern, and then it's going to, your one is going to be allowed to carry inside. Now the Gemara just qualifies what we learned and emphasizes that this is only talking about if it's more than beis asayim. Amar avuna brev Yeshua lo amaru ela yosemi beis asayim. We only said this in regards to something that had seeds planted inside, which was more than beis asayim. Avol beis asayim mutter. But if it's up until beis asayim, then it's going to be mutter kiman kirebi shimin, like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And in tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to flesh out the position of Rabbi Shimon that says that up until Beis HaSayim, even if it was designated for planting, it does not need to be considered halachically hukaf ladira. And even if it was designated for farming land, you would be allowed to carry as long as it's less than Beis HaSayim. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the pshat in Gemara Erevin, Chav Gimel, and we now, Be'ezer Hashem, go to the halacha from the daily daf. Be'ezer Hashem Yisparech, the halacha topic from daf Chav Gimel is the topic of parks in an Eruv, some important applications to the halachos of Karpef. One of the least known set of halachos that come up in Hilchos Erevin and is really the central topic of our daf is the halachos of a karpef. As you recall from the Mishnah on Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, there were many different opinions of the Tanoim, but the bottom line of all the opinions of the Tanoim is there is something called a karpef and a gina that resembles a Rishus HaRabim because it is not hukaf ladira. It is not designated for, as of now, let's define domestic purposes, and for that reason, it resembles a Rishus HaRabim, and once it resembles a Rishus HaRabim, then even if it's surrounded by mechitzos, it's going to be usher to carry inside of this karpef. Now, this issue of karpef is a serious one. It's a complex one. I have to say that until this time around of the Daf Yomi in Erevin, I always found karpef extremely hard to wrap my arms around, and Be'ezer Hashem, now that I'm zochet to learn it with you again, maybe we'll be mesader some of the halachos, and poskim have pointed out that they're often, when a eruvin are constructed, the issue of karpef is sometimes ignored, because it's not germane to most of the other halachos of eruv, and sometimes an eruv could be constructed, and people be mistakenly carrying in the karpef. That is issue number one. But there is even a more severe issue, and that is in Simen Shin Nun Ches, Sifkaten Ayin Beis, the Mishnah Brura points out, and this is not a machlokis, everybody agrees, that if a karpef is open up to an area that it's permissible to carry in, if the opening is more than 10 amos, then not only is the karpef aser, but it makes the entire area aser to carry in as well. Which means that midrabanan, if a karpef is constructed, then the entire eruv becomes puzzled because of the rule
Ifrats lemakom ha'aser lo. This is the logical conclusion of the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Ayin Beis. The Chazon Ish in Siman Pei Tes Sifkatan Zayin writes this, and if I sarcastically add the Hebrew is not good enough, Rabbi Ribiat says this explicitly as well in his Halachos of Hotzah in the 39 Malachos. Therefore, the issue of Karpfeif is a very serious one, even though it's a hard sugya to understand. So let's take one of the topics and thereby shed some light, Be'ezer Hashem, that will have a little bit more clarity in applying the halachos from our sugya. How is it that one can construct an Eruv in a city, which clearly, those Tzuras HaPesach are clearly Hukaf Ladira? There's a lot of domestic life going on in that community. However, in the community, there's also a park. And in that park, we have areas that are clearly not Hukaf Ladira. Every once in a while, the park will be entirely open to the community, or the park will be closed off entirely. And then the question becomes, how could you carry in the park? And if the park is not closed off, and it has a pirtz of Yeser Me'eser, then it might be Nifritzu L'mako ma'asur lo, and it could asur the entire Eruv, as we mentioned before. So how do the poskim go about dealing with this? Well, the first thing that we need to internalize are some amazing diyukim by the Be'er Halacha in the beginning of Simin Shin Nun Ches. The Be'er Halacha is medayek in Rashi in the beginning of our perek. On Daf Yud Zayin Amad Beis, going to Yud Ches Amad Aleph, the Mishnayos already began to make mention of a karpef. Because we had there in the Mishnah, Yud Ches Amad Aleph, two lines on the top, Amru lo amru beis asayim ela legina ule karpef. They're only a requirement of having something that is less than 70 amos by 70 amos is regards to a garden and a karpef. However, if you have things that are dear, so are umuktza, so then in such a case, that is no longer included in the Yisur Derabbanan. The Be'er Halacha points out that from what seems to emerge from Rashi, and the poskim seem to run with the Be'er Halacha's diyukim, is that for something to be called a karpef or a gina, it's something that people normally don't go in and out of often. It's something that's designated, for example, for planting. A gina that's designated for planting. However, if you have an area that's wide open, that doesn't necessarily become automatically a karpef. The best example of that is the distinction in the Shulchan Aruch between an area that is clear from the Gemara is considered a karpef that had vegetables that were growing inside, which is referred to in the poskim as zra'im, versus, as we're going to have later on, the Gemara on Chaf Hei says that if you plant trees, according to Rav Nachman, says the Shulchan Aruch that we paskin like Rav Nachman, that is considered hukaf ledira. Let's see that in the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Shin Nud Ches, Sif Tes, Karpef Yoser Misasayim, Shuhukaf ledira Venuta Rubo Ilanos. If the majority is planted with trees, so then in such a case, if the intention was to be makifit ledira, the trees are not mevatelit. Only the zra'im are mevatel. And the Mishnah Berurah adds a very important line in Sifkot and Samach. Hey, da'avidi inshe lintoa ilanos bechatzeros kedei listofef bitzilon. It's normal for people to use trees as a domesticated use. If they would be using it just to plant apples, so then in such a case, that's not hukaf ledira. And then one would argue that part of the rule of karpef, and it resembles a rishus harabim, and then it will be usur, and then it could go so far as to passel the entire eruv. But if the trees are there for shade, so then in such a case, that would be enough to remove its status of karpef, one could argue, according to Mishnah Berurah. One could argue, therefore, that when it comes to a park that has trees, there it's made l'diras ha'adam, and that would not qualify as a karpef, and it's different than an open area that's planted for vegetables and wheat and so on that resembles more of a rishus harabim. This is also the position of the Tshuvas Chsam Sofer. Chsam Sofer in Orechaim Simin Sadi Hei, as well as the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek,
in his Shal Sutruva Simen Lamites Oz Gimel. They're both medayek from the Rashi along the lines of what we had said. They don't talk only about trees, but they extend it to all areas, open areas as well. That from Rashi, it seems that any area that's common for people to walk back and forth through, it's a common area that's used as a thoroughfare or a park that's made for strolling. In such a case, that does not qualify as a karpef. There is a strong kasha on this, though, with an important answer. In Shulchan Aruch Shin Nun Ches Aleph, one could have argued that the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is almost the exact opposite of this. And that is, the Mechaber writes, Kol Hekev Shelo Hukel Fadira, Kegon Ganos Upardesim. He talks specifically about orchards and gardens. And here, the prototypical example of a Hekev, of a Karfef, is a garden and a park, and an orchard. So how could we possibly use the definitions of the Chassam Sofer and what we pointed out from the Be'er HaLacha if at the end of the day the words of the Shulchan Aruch seem to be directly opposed to this? Now, if we followed the simple reading of the words of the Shulchan Aruch, then it would be a problem to construct an Eruv in most communities today, because many communities have an area of 70 Amos by 70 Amos that are designated for Ganos Upardesim. How could we reconcile the Shulchan Aruch with the Be'er HaLacha, with the Chassam Sofer, with the simple reading of Rashi? So Rav Meir Arik in his Sefer Imre Yosher is quoted by the Pnei HaLacha on Daf Yud Ches as giving a beautiful answer. The Bach already in Shin Nun Ches says that these Ganos and Pardesim are not today's parks. They are orchards that were once upon a time designated for fruits. There, the surrounding walls were there to protect it, to protect the fruits from robbers and so on. Think about the orchards in a medieval state. Over there, the area was protected, designated. It wasn't made for dira, it was made to show off its beautiful fruits, and possibly, maybe, for a couple of people to stroll around every once in a while. But it was not an area that was planted for its sale, for people to be able to go there and relax. If that's so, then the simple application from our Shulchan Aruch to apply Ganos Upardesim of the Shulchan Aruch to our parks would not be relevant, and our parks today would be closer to things that qualify as Hukaf Ladira, or designate Ladira Saltam Laknisa Uyetziya Tamid, and therefore our parks would not have the din of, many of them would not have the din of Karpefim. However, there needs to be an important caveat. If we're going to use the Svar of Yetziya and Hachnasa Tamid, so then if one had a park that is closed at times, that at times it's restricted, and people aren't always allowed to go in and out, then that might be, not be something that is designated Ladira. If that would be so, then those areas might have a real shaila of carrying inside of them, and they would not be like the regular parks that are clearly designated for Diras Ha'adam L'Stofef Betzel, and maybe those areas would be problematic. And therefore we conclude this halacha from the Daily Daf, leaving off with a question about restricted baseball fields that are only opened at certain times of the day, or botanical gardens where it's not necessarily made for constant dira l'knisa l'yitzia. Particularly when it comes to gardens, one needs to also decide whether it has a din l'stofef betzel. It could very well be that most of those halachos have a din of zriya. So if it's something that's all the time open, so then in such a case, then the Be'er HaLacha's definition would be operative and one could rely on it. However, if it's something that's restricted, so then it would be problematic. Finally, it is quoted in the name of the Divrei Chaim that the Divrei Chaim was even more machmir, that the Divrei Chaim said that the only heter that we had from the Gemara on Daf Chav Hei was an area that has trees that were made l'histofef l'tzel. What happens to rose gardens and botanical gardens? So then in such a case, the Divrei Chaim is not convinced at all that doesn't qualify as a karpef, that's hukaf le zriya. On the other hand, we have the definition of the Be'er Halacha, that if it's something that people are constantly going in and out of, so then in such a case, that could also qualify as designated L'Shimush Ha'adam, L'Chnisu L'Yitziah, and there is a lot of room today to be makel that as long as the area is not closed off to Knisa and Yitzia, that today there isn't much difference between an area that's designated for trees and shade and an area that also has beautiful flowers. As long as it's open to people, Lichnos V'Latzeit, then it could very well be it does not have a din of Karpeth. This is an application of some of the halachos of Karpeth that emerge from the second perek of Erevin, whose issue is brought to the fore by the different shitas hatanoim in the Mishnah on Chavdalet.